Friday.
It is August 6th. It is Friday. We just said that. And I am here and I'm joined by Kate before she bon voyages off into the Hawaiian sunset. Do you wish you were going to the White Lotus?
I've stayed at that hotel before.
Have you really?
Yeah, it's not called the White Lotus. It's the Four Seasons Wailea. And it's nice. It's definitely a nice hotel. But I'm glad that I'm not going to be
Connie Britton's there.
Yeah. Oh God. I wish I could be hanging out with Connie Britton, but I'm glad there's not going to be scary teenagers. I mean, there probably will be scary teenagers wherever I go. So
yeah, you're going to Hawaii like right before school starts.
That's true. It's preschool. Oh no.
And after a pandemic, these families are like, wow, we didn't think we'd have one more chance to hang out with our little brat.
Oh God.
Just be scared. Be aware. Be alert. Don't look them in the eye and be ready to run. Guys, we are going to talk about the top entertainment topics of the day, things that, you know, you want to carry with you into the weekend. And we know you guys are going to love these topics today. So let's just dive right in. Monday, Katie Thurston is maybe getting engaged, ? On Wednesday, ABC released the images of Katie in her gown in all her glory at the final rose ceremony. I think it's interesting because they definitely tried to not show that in the trailer and the promo for the finale to make you wonder, is she gonna just quit the show? Doesn't look like it. But, you know, is Greg gonna show up? That's the big question. Are we the book? Yeah, we're so.
I think the Greg book is closed.
Can we all just agree that it's Blake?
Yes, we all know it's Blake. Of course it's Blake. I mean, if it's Justin, I will lose my shit.
That is a plot twist. Imagine that.
Can you imagine? That would be extraordinary.
There is a moment in the promo for the finale where Caitlin says, this changes the entire series. Or season. So maybe
that's what it is. It is like when Kelly Clarkson wasn't featured early in Idol, and now we're just getting rewarded by a great, like, look, she's tried to entertain us this whole season. She has really been there to entertain us, and maybe she's going to go the extra mile and just.
Oh, see, I took that as more as them telling Blake and Justin that Greg left. And so when Caitlin says that, Justin reads the room and just packs up his bags and goes.
Oh,
Well, I can't be the one that isn't able to read the signs, but
I'm honestly so sad for Katie though about the way that this shook out for her, because the fact that she's basically down to one choice at this point, I don't know. I mean, she should have kept Andrew around longer.
I mean, I know. Now she wishes she wouldn't have gotten rid of him. Andrew, who says he wouldn't even want to be the Bachelor. So you guys, we're in trouble. But I did want to talk about Caitlin. She has given a little bit more insight into Katie and Greg's fallout. I think that's like the best way to fight. She was on the podcast Clickbait. And she said, I actually didn't really fully know how it all went down until I watched it back. I was just hearing Katie's side of the story, and she was actually really self-deprecating about it. I feel like she wasn't angry at the time. She wasn't like, oh, Greg gaslighted me. She was kind of like, I don't know what happened. I felt bad for Greg until I watched it back. Which is interesting because...
Wait, did Caitlin say she felt bad for Greg?
Yes.
Or did... Okay, okay.
Yeah. It's all interesting though, because... I think Katie in that moment definitely, and we talked about this on our mini episode, Katie is, I think in that moment was shocked, but now has had time to kind of, to ruminate on it and like explore it a little bit more. So Caitlin continued and she said, could Katie have been a little more reactive to him saying these things? Of course, but the way he responded back to that, I thought was bullshit. Caitlin noted that she was confused in the moment as she comforted Katie in the bathroom. So I kind of love that she said that it was bullshit. You know, this a conversation that I'm seeing a lot of And listeners, weigh in. I've actually seen Bachelor Nation incredibly split on this. I have some close personal friends that have said that they're Team Greg. We have a listener, a friend of the pod. Her name is Hannah, who listens every day. And she actually messaged me and said she thinks she would be Team Greg. And she understands the complexity and the nuances. But I think what I've noticed in the conversations around the gaslighting or not gaslighting is everybody is really focused on the first conversation that they had. I think I don't want to say people are missing the point. I think that what is just important is to not focus on the actual I love you, focus on the fallout.
I was so confused. And it pains me still to think that that's what you think that I was asking for.
I didn't know. Like, even in you telling me this, I'm like trying to reflect back. And like, there was a lot of emotions that night. And maybe I was just trying to do more listening than talking.
I even feel like right now you're giving me like a surface level response. Like, I'm talking to you. I'm not asking for this stuff. Like, this is real. This is real life. This isn't like how you told me. You already told my family I'm getting a rose this week. Like, the rose. I don't give a about the rose. I was just telling you that you filled a hole in my heart.
And I heard it, and I heard it during our one-on-one day, and I'm sorry that I didn't say more. I just know how big of a night it was, and with your dad and emotions, like, I just was listening more. Like, I wish I could...
You weren't listening, though.
Is it possible that everybody's reaction to this is squarely based on their love language? Like, do you think that there are people who are the words of affirmation people that are squarely Team Greg, because they feel similarly that like Katie did not give enough and they want those words of affirmation versus like, remind me what yours is. Mine's gifts.
Mine is, oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that. Mine's quality time. And for me, that felt like enough because she was there. She was present with him.
And Greg got plenty of quality time compared to the rest of the men, compared to Justin.
Yeah.
You got plenty of quality time.
And to be fair, he doesn't see what we see in the sense of like how much more time he's getting than some of the other men. But yeah. I mean, even just in that moment, she felt very present to me. So as somebody who looks for quality time, I definitely would have felt that love, even if she wasn't saying, I love you. Now, Kate, would you have felt that love if she handed you a block of cheese?
Yes, I would have. Absolutely.
That's your gift. That's your love language is gifts in form of cheese.
Well, I also like the bottom of my list is like words of affirmation. Like, words of affirmation make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I also don't find them particularly necessary.
Yeah.
And so like, you already know how I feel. So why do you need me to say it? And so for me,
and also she's limited.
It doesn't bother me at all.
Say.
Exactly. You can't even say it. So
yeah. So if anything whatever. She says is going to feel thinly veiled, but yeah, right. I mean, look, listeners, friend of the pod, Hannah, what is your love language and how does that maybe affect how you do or do not receive this conversation? Because that's a great point, Kate. And now I'm kind of wondering, let's get somebody from each love language on the pod and tell us how you took it. And I think that is the more productive conversation versus who's, you know, was Greg right or wrong? Was Katie right or wrong? It's like, look, at the end of the day, they're not together. I mean, we can argue about that all we want. I think that also something that I think I maybe didn't give Greg enough credit for when we spoke it during the mini episode was I think that he was so overwhelmed emotionally that almost to a degree he might have like, I don't want to say the word, I think he was maybe a little embarrassed at how much he poured out. And he realized he couldn't take it back. And then when he realized he couldn't take it back, he was embarrassed that he went the distance. And it was maybe more a little bit ego. The reason I bring that up, I don't mean that to be critical because I was saying I didn't give him enough credit. I didn't give him enough credit because of how emotional that day probably was for him. And just to think about having that moment and it being the first kind of huge life, you know, milestone in your life without your father, I would imagine is probably paralyzing. So
thinking rationally, but
I think that's like, exactly what happened.
It's still the main conversation happened 2 days later.
Exactly.
At that point, you should cool down and realize you're kind of being a little much.
Yeah. And not shut down, not only on somebody else, but in that, but then also blame them for it. Anyway, you guys, Monday's the big day. Kate, are you going to watch The Batch? Like, are you going to, when you are in Hawaii, are you going to be like, what's happening? I have to know. Or are you going to find out 2 weeks later?
Well, considering it's going to be probably about 2 p.m. my time that it's airing for you guys, I'll probably keep tabs on it.
Oh, you are? Oh my God. Here I am thinking like, you're right. 2 p.m. You're not going to be out on the beach drinking a piña colada.
I'm definitely, so like my mornings are for like hiking, and then I sit by a pool for the rest of the day, and I don't really have much else to do while sitting by the pool except for scroll through things. So I'll probably just kind of find out what's happening at the very least.
God, that's going to be so weird that it'll be 2 p.m. while we are in the pitch black of night watching somebody's heart be broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I get to live each day a little longer. Isn't
almost
that nice?
Like in the future, or I mm-hmm. guess, are you in the past?
Well, I'm in the present.
You're in the future,
but just like a little, like it's like I'm a little few steps behind you.
Wow,
following just you, watching over you,
hand on our shoulders. Anyway, you guys, let's move into the next topic of the day, a topic that we've talked about before and we will continue to talk about because it is never freaking ending, and that's Erica Girardi.
I gotta say, I found it very obnoxious, but then hearing some of the things that happened afterwards, it's like, oh, there might be more to the story. So we saw that whole Garcelle versus Erica argument go down when, you know, it appeared as though Erica very willingly said in front of the cameras that Tom still calls her. And then when they get back to the house and Garcelle says, well, Tom still calls you, she kind of goes into the hysterics and she starts talking about how, like, you know, like
Garcelle really betrayed her friendship.
Betrayed her, like saying, like, okay, yeah, that was private information, but you know, go ahead, you know. It just was such a cruel reaction.
A Greg Grippo switch too.
Yes. But the way that all the other women are falling over themselves to defend her, and even Garcelle being sort of like, what did I do? I didn't want this. I didn't want her to be crying. And I'm like, Garcelle, you should be like, shut the fuck up. I was not trying to do anything. Like, you told me this in front of all the cameras, and I'm bringing it up again in front of your friends who you supposedly are open and wanting to talk to about this.
Yeah. So what is interesting, I thought Garcelle handled herself so well because I would have literally flown off the handle. I would have not been okay if somebody was doing that to me. I would have been like, we are on a, I would have broken, you want to break the fourth wall, Luke from Summer House season 4 reunion. I would have literally been like, Erica, we are on a television show. That right there is Tom. He's the cameraman who's been filming you this entire day when you already said this. But Garcelle was just like, Erica, that's not what I intended on doing. She was so calm. And I was like, I tip my hat to her because she stayed so calm and collected. But yeah, I mean, Erica, so I guess according to Crystal, Erica said, please don't talk about those phone calls, but she said it off camera, off mic, and to just Crystal while Garcelle was getting into the car. So Garcelle didn't hear it. Also, neither did we. So we also watched that entire scene being like, what is she doing? We don't have the context that she wanted to keep this hush hush. At the same time though, she already said it on mic. I don't think mm-hmm. she knew she was on camera, but she was on mic. And so then she goes into these hysterics that I think were more about her and, you know, more of poor me, I can't believe I have to go through this, than the betrayal or anything. I think it almost was like a sudden reaction in that Garcelle was the catalyst to something bigger. And then once the waterworks started, it's hard to turn them off, you know?
It still felt very staged to me and very acted and poorly acted. But we also got more information yesterday about the scene via Lisa Rinna, who posted something on her Instagram saying that there was a big fight between Erica and production that didn't make it to air. In her words, bravo, bravo, fucking bravo. Too bad we didn't see it or something. And so that kind of, go ahead.
I think she's trolling.
So you think there was never a fight?
So Okay, there were reports in Page Six and TooFab.com that said that basically production kept telling Garcelle to bring up the phone calls. Mm-hmm. And Garcelle did not know that she wasn't supposed to, per Erica. But then when Garcelle did bring it up, Erica was mad at production for poking at Garcelle to do it because they obviously knew that Erica said, don't do it. And then Erica felt mad that Garcelle fed into production. And that's what people are saying is happening behind the scenes.
Right.
So that does change things.
Makes more sense, because then to me, that would say, even if Garcelle didn't hear about that, if I am Erica and I think that I have the trust and support of these women, and then one of them comes in and asks a question that was very clearly planted in her head by production, I could see being a little bit like, okay, so you don't actually care about me. You actually just care about putting on a good show. And like, you're doing what the producers tell you to do and not what you should be doing as a friend. So in a way, I understand that perspective.
And yeah.
Yeah. And it makes much more sense why she would blow up the way she did.
I think, I wonder, because they know that they got such a good response from people, from viewers, when Denise broke the fourth wall. And mm-hmm. everyone is saying that, or not everybody, but I think people are thinking Rinna was trolling Denise by bringing up this quote unquote epic fight, because, you know, it didn't happen, but she's kind of just, again, she's so supportive of Erica. She's directing the attention to something else.
Yeah.
But I think that my point being is, they got such a good response from when they showed the whole Denise thing. I kind of think they would have showed it if it had happened, right?
Yeah.
I would have wanted to see it.
Yeah, unless they're worried about getting sort of ingrained in some sort of legal thing themselves. I
know.
No,
I mean, at this point, everyone is like, Tom who?
it's not about Tom.
Oh, it's about Tom. I'm sorry. I don't know any Tom.
Tell me, who is Tom?
Whoops. Yeah, that's what's really happening at this point. I think all of them are just like, that's why Kathy went and got tacos, because she was like, I don't know a Tom. I just want my tacos. But
oh,
I think we're at a tipping point with Erica. I think we really are. I think that now is when people are going to turn on her. You know, we're seeing it. We are seeing people question in their confessionals.
Even people, yes. Because it also is that she is acting so erratically towards everybody. Yeah. And
Dorit is asking questions.
Yeah.
Dorit, and I think who was literally in the same type of money scandal a few years ago.
And I think Sutton, being somebody who's part of the more like high society, like couture world and all that kind of thing, I think there's a piece of her that's also like, she's worried about her own reputation being associated with it.
When she said that in the promo, when she was like, I don't want to be around Erica right now. I was like, oh, this is juicy.
I mean, that's a truly rich person there.
I know. I mean, what's her daughter's name? It's like her daughter has like a rich person's name.
Porter. That's a very rich name. That is a Ralph Lauren name. Yes.
Yeah. That is like, she seemed lovely, but also like, she's not hanging out with the Hamlin daughters. So,
you know, on Google autocomplete now, Sutton Strack appears above Sutton Foster.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, she's knocked it out of the park this season. Whether you like her or not, like
she's a presence.
She is a presence.
Yes.
And I'm waiting with bated breath to see what she wears every episode.
Oh yeah.
No, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
She had like a 3D rose on her sweater on Wednesday's episode. okay, guys, it is time for the deep dive of the day. And I would love to talk about Gossip Girl, the reboot specifically. We had our first cameo from the original in Thursday's episode, Nelly Yuki.
Oh, Nelly. Aw,
yeah,
memories.
She and the plot was really interesting, because she actually came and busted somebody where one of the characters was kind of doing
his
own.
Is she a cop?
No. So she's actually like a high up editor at New York Magazine. Mm. And she's very successful. And she busted one of her reporters because he was snooping and pretending to be a high school student, which is like, God bless. Like, I could not for one moment pass as a high school student. So I just really love the world of TV magic where like a 26-year-old can be easily confused as a 15-year-old. But
well, you still have, there are some of those actors though, that like there's somebody who was on Pretty Little Liars. I think that was like 35 playing a 16-year-old.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's. I'm pretty sure it was PLL.
No, you're right. I just always forget how old Sasha Pierdesay was.
From like 90, 90210, also Beverly Hills 90210, not the reboot. That Gabrielle, whatever her name is, she's always like, she was like 40 playing a high schooler.
That I did know. Yeah. So, I mean, look, I love a cameo. Was I a little like, oh, it's Nelly? Like, yeah, I was a little sad about it, but my deep dive of the day is actually not about Nelly, but it is about the dresses that, so there's like two, I'm sorry if you guys don't watch this show, I don't, whatever, you should, two like competing Blair and Serena's at another school who showed up at this Halloween party dressed as Blair and Serena. That was their Halloween costume. And the theme of the Halloween party was New York legends. And I thought it was such a fun
meta
wink to the audience that they showed up as Blair and Serena. And there's one dress that Blair wears. It's in the episode High Society or something like that. It's in the first season. I think it's episode 10. And it's a really beautiful blue dress. And then we were stuck with looking at the cursed wedding dress that Serena wears with the gold over
it.
Oh
no.
Yeah. That's what the Serena girl wore. Guess what? Newsflash, still just as bad.
Oh,
but there is a fun scene. And I recommend everybody watch it where two of the characters that we follow on the show, Julian and Zoya, walk up dressed as Dan and Chuck. And the girl that plays Zoya gets to deliver the line, "I'm Chuck Bass." And it was so great. I loved it. I've totally fall for all of that kind of stuff. When shows become self-aware, I'm here for it. So there's no reason
my eyes a little bit.
This 14 just turned 15-year-old should know him saying, "I'm Chuck Bass," but she does. And I'm here for it. But Kate isn't. That's fine. Kate's not going to be here for the next 2 weeks. So she doesn't.
So you can talk about it every day.
I'm going to. Guys, that is it for today's Pop Chaser. Make sure to listen to TV Watch Repeat. Even though Kate is going on vacation, we have new episodes each Monday while she is gone. So don't worry. And they're
pretty covered. They're pretty good. Yes, we've got a spectrum. I mean, just you wait.
Just you wait, you guys. But make sure you check out thedip.com as well. Use the promo code POPCHASER for 50% off your annual subscription. And I will be back on Tuesday with a special guest, maybe, ? I don't know. We'll find out. We will find out. I might just run solo. But anyway, we will be back on Tuesday with a new episode and all of the newest headlines. So be sure to check that out. And until then, cheers.
Cheers.
Mahalo, Kate.
Mahalo.